Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
EQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. EQ 3, intruder alert.
Intruder alert? Oh, come on. Don't musicians deserve more respect? There's always something. I don't know what to say to that, but you're still doing a great job, Mr. Sulu. Hey, everybody, welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon. The podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. And I am your hostess and cruise director, Madam Perry, or you can call me Jennifer Perry. And of course, to my Brit friends, Jennifer Maudette Perry, but you can just call me Jen. I am just so happy you're here, and I'm happy I'm here. I was talking earlier to tonight's guests as they came into the genie bottle and were fluffing up the cushions. I said, you know, I never have a bad guest. All my guests are so fun and so excited. I'm so honored to have each and every one. But also, it's because of everyone who listens. And I've got to say, I've got checking the numbers, even when I took a couple of weeks off in the last few months, well, last 2 months, still, you kept subscribing and downloading episodes, and I just really, really do appreciate it. It's it enables the show to grow and enables me to get even more cool guests like we've been having, like we have coming up. You know, my, let's see, who did we have not long ago? Althea Lawton Thomas was here, and, you know, she's leading some fabulous mindfulness, mind-body wellness retreats in Costa Rica, North Georgia, all kind of places. Of course, when I met her, I was taking an exotic dance class, and sadly, that will never be a career for me, exotic dance, but it was still fun to take, and I've got some new moves for the Soul Train line. Also, coming up soon, next Monday, now tonight is Tuesday, January 30th, and if my brother Scott's listening, happy birthday, Scott, and if my old drum teacher was listening, Eskil Vedekvist, happy birthday, Eskil. And yeah, that's a cool thing. Coming up soon, Monday, is author and food historian Linda Civitello. And Linda has a new book called The Baking Powder Wars. And let me tell you something. You might think, oh, Baking Powder Wars, you know, it's a couple of housewives fighting us over the Allen Kroger. But no. The history of baking powder, how it was invented, created, the marketing wars, it's got everything. It's got mafia, Jesse James, the KKK. I mean, it's some, I had no idea food history could be such a big deal. But, so she'll be here Monday night, and I've talked to Linda. She's also a filmmaker, has been for years in New York and L.A., and she's a riot. So that'll be a fun show. Also, Jim Musgrave. Now, Jim was a former client of mine, and I'm sort of credited or blamed for leading him onto the steampunk path, and he became the godfather of steampunk. But he's got new books. He's going to be here talking. And let's see, tomorrow night, true crime writer Michael Fleeman is going to be back with us tomorrow night. This is his third time in Madam Perry Salon. Michael Fleeman, you've probably seen him a lot on television shows, all the shows like Escape and Investigation Discovery, everything that has to do with true crime, because he's written so many books. But this one, if you saw some of the things I posted on social media, you know, reading this last story is called Better Off Dead, about a deadly love triangle. The husband gets killed. You know, I'm not giving anything away because it's true crime, so you can check it out on the internet. But I said, this has got everything. It's got neighborhood orgy outings. It's got people going naked on the zip line at these outings. It's got people, the couple that's plotting there, that responsible for the husband killed. Like, they'll be on the phone plotting their alibis, and then they'll just stop in the middle and start praying, and then they get back to it, and all this was recorded by the police. It is wild. And so that's tomorrow night. And also, his book, Lacey, about Lacey Peterson, is now on audiobook. So you'll definitely want to be in tomorrow night, too, for Michael Fleeman. He's always an exciting guest. And speaking of exciting guests, yes, I know, common segue, but you know, I love music, and I think it makes the soul so much happier. It can ease illness. It can make your joys and good times even better. And tonight I got a guy that I've been a fan of for many years before I even met him. He's a musician, songwriter, based in Atlanta. He plays, you can usually find him playing drums or bass in several Metro Atlanta bands. He plays jazz, blues, rock, top 40 bluegrass, anything. And he just freelances for bands, solo artists, classical ensembles, musicals, or recording projects. But one of the things that's most popular with this guy, and believe me, and he is a very well educated. He studied music performance and history, and studied and he has an MBA. I mean, this man should be able to answer any question you have about music or music business if you want to call in tonight. But he hosts these events in Atlanta called, these are open tribute jams, but he's got it very well organized. It may be around a certain style of music or a certain artist, whether it might be an all-night Sting and Police or prog rock, and it's he has it very well organized as to the songs and who plays what part. So you sign up ahead of time and you get there. And these are so much fun. And the musicians, there's never, ever, ever a clunker in the bunch. They're all good. And these are some of the best musicians and vocals you're going to find in Atlanta. So tonight we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the state of music. He sees it, music education on the collegiate level and preparing people to go out and make a career. And the popularity of tribute bands. So please welcome here for his first time. Well, he's been here as joining in conversations with other guests, but this time it's a feature. My friend, musician and songwriter, Adrian T. Ash. Adrian, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay,
that
was quite
an introduction.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you to sleep. Hope I didn't put you to sleep. But yeah, thank you. I just didn't know sometimes where do you fit in when there's so much going on with somebody. And by the way, if you listen tonight live and you want to talk to Adrian, you want to call in and talk to Adrian, the number is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. If you're a regular listener, some people tell me they have it on speed dial. And especially shout out to my friends like Mimi in Asheville, also Madison Maxwell in Asheville, other people that are messaging in that they're listening, David Hurley. Hello, David. Glad you're here. And so if you want to call in and talk to Adrian, that's the number. Blog Talk Radio says it's a toll-free number within the continental U.S. And I do have somebody here that's called in. We're going to give you just a minute while we get Adrian to introduce himself, and then we're going to bring you in for your question. And thank you for staying with us and holding. So, Adrian, tell me, I don't know where to begin with you. If you want to tell us just a bit about your education in music and your background, and then we'll go into the Badass All-Stars.
Sure. My education is at Georgia State University. I'm not going to go too much into that. I was in several different programs there and got a good education there, got a lot of great teachers, got a lot of great skills there. A lot of great opportunities, a lot of great staff down there, and my experience, especially as they relate to these open tribute jams, is that of, you know, sort of being a freelance musician in Atlanta for years, mainly in the jazz arena, and, you know, as a freelancer, you get around, you meet new musicians, you develop a network of contacts, and you know, then you start realizing what other people are doing in, around town, and you start realizing things like there's several different cliques around town. You know, there's the blues clique or the jazz clique or the this clique or the that clique. I mean, there's just so many different pockets of music around town, and it behooves every musician to be in every click, you know, as many clicks as possible just to stay busy. So, you know, through that process, I guess I developed a good network of musicians, found out about, you know, the Lefty's Jams that he started at Charlie Mops and then moved to Bella's Pizzeria. That was a great experience to meet a lot of new musicians, and I really loved the format of the open tribute jam. And Lefty announced he was retiring around the time that Tamara Fuller from the Velvet Note approached me, having seen what we were doing with the Steely Dan jam at Lefty's Jam. And, you know, I told her, well, you know, that's Lefty's thing, but he is retiring, so I can do this, you know, I can probably pull this off, you know, because I know the people and I can organize it. So, you know, it started about 6 years ago with that, just, you know, what I thought would be a one-off, you know, tribute jam for Steely Dan at the Velvet Note, but people loved it so much that they wanted to keep doing it. So we did, you know, a second Steely Dan jam the next year, and then people were like, well, we need to start doing this with other artists as well. And that's when, you know, we started incorporating other artists, started getting ideas for other jams, you know, themes jams, you know, whether it's Motown versus Stax or Sun versus Chess or the 80s or the 70s or maybe a versus pairing of two comparable artists. But, and, you know, this is something people have been doing for a while, you know, especially as a jazzer, you know, you start learning 15 Miles songs or, you know, 15 Monk tunes, you know, at some point you're like, well, I could do a whole set of this stuff. So, you know, it's not a new concept, it's just a new take on it, and expanding this community of musicians in Atlanta to be, you know, as inclusive as possible. So, you know, we're up to about 70 jams now.
Wow.
And it's great that we've had so many musicians participate in them over the years. And there's almost always a new person to come along with every jam, maybe several people. There's a lot of repeat jammers who will sign up for, you know, numerous jams. There's some stalwarts that play in pretty much every jam.
stalwarts, the diehards, the repeats. Well, let me see that. We've got somebody coming in who's joining us here in the Genie Bottle. I don't know for how long, but maybe, but we're welcoming them. Come on in, and it could be one of the stalwarts or repeats or guests. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Who is this? Who are you? Hello? Okay, maybe they just wanted to listen. Somebody with the 697 NPX?
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay, well, anyway, you're there. If you want to say something, just go right ahead. Somebody from here in Atlanta, so just thank you for being here and joining us. You've had some extremely fascinating combinations. Now, the first one I ever attended, and I think I'd seen it on Facebook, and it was Sting and the Police. And you took the albums, you know, through the history. And even, and you, one good thing, something about things like this, you have it so well organized as to ahead of time as to who's doing what part and what goes in the order and what's going to happen. But even so, even as organized as it is, there's always a chance because of, you know, people that things could get a little slow or drag or somewhere. But you've, I noticed that first time, you never let that happen. You know, you had little bits and little anecdotes about the songs or where the band was at the time or things that, whether it was musically or how they were changing what they were what types of music and styles they were exploring at the time, or even little personality things going on. And you had a way of keeping it to where it all stayed, the energy stayed good for the crowd. So I imagine that's more like a ringmaster, but you do it so smoothly.
Oh, that's a good compliment. And yes, I think context does matter. It enhances the music. There is a history to a lot of these catalogs, so I like to go chronological for that reason a lot of times. It tells more of a story. Like we're about to do a 90s jam coming up in a week and a half, and we're probably going to do that one chronological because, you know, you can see the story that it tells, and you can almost put yourself there if you were alive in the 90s. And, you know, a lot of this involves nostalgia. So people are instantly transported to a time and place when that song was on the radio or, you know, their friends were listening to it or whatever. And, you know, that's a large element of what this is all about, the whole tribute thing, whether it's a tribute jam, a tribute band, or some combination thereof, just doing covers. You know, it's all about evoking some sort of nostalgia and familiarity in the audience. So, not sure where I started with that, but yes, comics matter. And, you know, another thing is there's a lot of musicians trading off, you know, tagging in and tagging out between songs. So that's the perfect time to, you know, give some props to somebody in the band who had a solo or, you know, give some relevant trivia. At one point I had a resident armchair musicologist, Wheat Williams, who would give trivia between songs. He sort of really embraced that role, and we haven't had that sort of energy since he left, so I try to keep it rolling between songs and, you know, avoid coitus interruptus, as some people like to put it.
Okay. Yeah, don't want that. And by the way, our caller, are you with us? If you have something to join in with or a question or a comment, please go right ahead. Or just sit here and dig the vibe. So you said you've done, what, about 90 of these?
70.
How do you keep it so fresh? I mean, how do you come up with different ideas?
Oh, well,
and
I mean, since this community. Well, you know, as this community has grown, they've come up with their own ideas of the sort of jams that they want to do or see next. Or, you know, we will sit around at a bar and just sort of brainstorm on different jam ideas or playlists. And who decides the songs? Well, sort of all the musicians who sign up for it. You know, I can throw out my 50 favorite songs and, you know, nobody will sign up for them. But, you know, if I throw out songs that people actually know and can play, then people will sign up for them and will play them. So it's sort of a, you know, and if I have an excess of songs, then I can say, okay, well, we'll do these 40. We can't do these 10 or 20, but, you know, maybe next time.
I've been out of town whenever this is with the Prague rock shows, and I'm a big lover of Prague. Which ones does seem to be the most popular as far as particular bands in the Prague lineup?
Well, that Prague rock jam is sort of the brainchild of Sean Tonar and other Prague heads in town, Reese Boyd, and that is largely his territory, and that's a beautiful thing, too, that this has sort of spawned other people to start doing similar shows with a similar model and, you know, calling all the Prague heads in town and signing them up for, you know, the best, you know, Genesis, Yes, Kansas, Rush, King Crimson playlist you can come up with. And these guys will do it. And, you know, it's really inspiring to see other people do that with other themes. So I would have to defer to Sean on the Prague Rock Jam. He's been very helpful in being a lieutenant in all of this, keeping all the cats herded, keeping everybody informed.
Well, that's pretty good, though. Is there a particular, though, but in a series like that, is there a particular band that's more popular, like Kansas or Crimson?
You mean in the
want
frog
to hear
genre?
More of a sign of, yeah, yeah.
No, Rush is always a hit, but it's funny, the more devout the prog head, the deeper the cut they want to hear. So, you know, you'll get a lot of people wanting to play some Rush songs, but you'll also get some hardcore guys wanting to hear the deepest Genesis cut you can come up with. So it depends on who you talk to, you know.
Last summer, I don't know if you know, Julie Slick was a guest here. And I don't know if you know her, but she's a bassist. She's been with Adrian Belew for about 10 or 12 years. And she also plays with the Crimson Project as well as things of her own. So she says she's going to come through here in Atlanta sometime, so we'll have to induct her into a prog.
Yes, absolutely. That's what this is all about. Is
anybody
bringing in newcomers,
yeah.
Especially, you know, people who can kill it. It's a big community.
No. She's a lot of fun. And she's got a good sense of humor. Look, anybody that can play up on stage with Adrian Belew and then turn to him at one point during a solo when he calls her name, and she's got these glasses with these little eyeballs that come out on, like, slinkies, coils. This is like a big deal here, but I figure somebody like that, what these guys play, I mean, and then they don't lose a note, they got to be good. I mean, they got to be used to all this kind of craziness. But, yeah, she's a lot of fun. So, I think he was telling me, or somebody else was telling me once, they said, you know, these tribute jams around Atlanta, you know, they are gaining in popularity, and the ones, especially to some, the ones that I went to at the Velvet Note, which was also Police and Sting, it just seemed, I remember sitting in there, you know, on the side with some of the other singers and stuff, musicians waiting for my turn, but listened to everybody. And what I really, really was caught up in was not only does the band, and every one of these that I've been to, not only is a band very encouraging and supportive of one another, it's like everybody's keeping everybody built up, and everybody's supporting everything in the music, it's all there. But I know, especially at the Velvet Note, the audience was just seemed totally enraptured. Did you feel
that?
Yes,
that
I mean,
was a very appreciative audience, definitely. They seem to appreciate music up there, so it's always nice to play there. And, you know, some people you connect with, some people you don't. And it's great that the musicians are there to support one another, because, you know, that's one of the best aspects of this. And, you know, the music community is, you know, supporting one another instead of this, you know, cutting heads, you know, cutthroat kind of stuff that can take place in some circles.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we're all about sharing in the collective, and, you know, we're all good players, and we love each other's playing, and we want to hear others play, and we want to play, so we understand that it's a lot of give and take, and everybody sort of gets, you know, gets equal exposure. And we try to make it, you know, equal stage time for everybody as much as possible.
And it shows, and it's obvious, yeah, because I could see the musicians. I mean, sometimes when I've been kind of like, what am I doing up here? And somebody around me would just smile and nod, like, yeah, everything's good, keep going. So maybe they mean keep going away. But you know, I was talking to some friends last week, and we were talking about that we do seem to see more of a preponderance almost, that might be too big of a word for it, but of tribute bands playing. I mean, you see them all the time at some place like Smith's Old Bar. I think they've gotten very popular in places, even in the casinos, where, you know, people usually do have, you know, a good name, even if it's, you know, B or C list talent, you know, playing casinos or some of the fancier joints. Tribute bands like there's a Fleetwood Mac one called Rumors, and bands like that really seem to have emerged as quite popular entertainment. What do you think is the reason for that? Is it nostalgia? Is it because maybe the original people that did that music maybe not aren't touring anymore, and people want to hear the songs live and well done? Any idea?
I've got a few ideas, and you know, probably relates to several issues, which, you know, may have something to do with the demographic that's usually going out to see live music locally. It may have to do with nostalgia. It may have to do with, you know, the fact that a lot of live music today is not something you would normally hear a band in a club play. So, you know, the people who are in the bar might not recognize a Katy Perry tune unless, you know, they've got a daughter who listens to it. So what you do end up hearing in bars is what the bar people want to hear, or, you know, you sort of begin catering to the audience instead of producing live music that is along the same vein, you know, different but the same, similar enough but different enough. Somewhere that there was a disconnect in music where that happened, and, you know, it was encouraging to see Bruno Mars win some Grammys, but, you know, there's not enough artists like that out there, in my opinion. You know, people putting out good, decent music that you would want to hear at a party or a bar, or, you know, something besides a cover that's still as powerful. And maybe that's the thing, you know, you've had time to look at the history of popular music over the past 30 years and see what has endured, you know, and what music is considered classic, what music is considered influential. You know, you can sort of start drawing a line through, you know, music and say, well, this person was influenced by this person, and this is sort of the progression of this genre. And at some point, they all started becoming, maybe it was Video Killed the Radio Star. That was the point where it started getting off track. And now it's, you know, so far off track that, you know, people look at that phenomenon and they sort of, you know, almost idolize that phenomenon and say, look, this is where this is the point where everything broke. So, you know, going backwards from there and considering all of this stuff, you know, influential or classical or historical, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. And, you know, how you work with that phenomenon, you know, may determine whether or not you're more inclined to be in a cover band or whether or not you're more inclined to write original music. So maybe more people,
you know,
inspired to write originals.
By the way, if you're listening live tonight and you want to talk to Adrian Ash, the number is 646-716-9922. We do have some people, too, some listeners, Adrian, that message in their questions. One of them is one of our favorite people, David Hurley. He's an author and poet and the creator of Subtlety Magazine, which is now Bookalage. And first he had a question that I had missed a few minutes ago. He said, ask if you were a Neil Peart fan, since we were speaking of prog rock. And then he said, okay, you just mentioned Rush, I guess so. But he has a question for you, a drummer question. Are you ready, Adrian?
Sure.
All right. Okay. He says, okay, David Hurley's question is this. Do you believe in a greatest jazz drummer? And here are some names he's thrown out. Joe Morello. I attended a drum clinic, Joe Morello, once. What a cool guy. Joe Morello, Elvin Jones, Rashid Ali, I hope I pronounced that right, Buddy Rich. And then he said, and is it cool to dig Mel Torme's underrated drumming? Thank you, David. And go.
Wow, what a list. You know, I think every jazz drummer owes it to themselves to listen to all these drummers and then some. And everybody's going to give a different answer. So my answer, you know, will have my own justification, but, you know, I might be biased for whatever reason. But I would say probably Elvin, because he sort of redirected the role of the jazz drummer in terms of timbre and substance, time, and texture. You know, he transferred the time to the ride cymbal instead of the bass drum. And, you know, with the advent of different ensembles in that era, he was able to get away with that. You know, he had some really great players he was playing with, and he could play with the time in a new way, which caught on like wildfire, and almost everybody plays like that now. You know, they when they think about jazz drumming, they go back to that approach. But, you know, every drummer owes it to themselves to find out what the progression of jazz drumming is. And there's lots of great teachers in town who can teach that and do have online materials for all of that. But Elvin, just because he sort of revolutionized the timekeeping role in the from the drummer, and everybody plays like that.
Yeah, David says, Elvin, yes, the Holy Quartet. Great answer. Great question, David. All right, thanks. Okay, and anybody else, we still have room if you want to call and talk to Adrian. She asked, Adrian, you sent me something. You got me a little clip. I put one thing on Facebook this morning, but some people might have seen. But and it was a clip that had my buddy Scott Glazer in it.
Oh, really?
Whom I adore. He's played with me a few times, and just such a great guy. But you sent something
about the
to play. The Brubeck tune, yeah. And Scott's fun to play, fun to gig with, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a great guy. Miss playing with him.
Night by Night.
Yes, I sent you a clip of us playing at the Steely Dan Jam a couple of years ago. This is just a cut of Night by Night. We had full horn section. And this is just off my little recorder sitting out front. And keep in mind, this is a sort of jam where people don't really get to rehearse before the jam. They just show up and play the tune. So there's a lot of give and take, and everybody's, you know, taking it, you know, measure by measure, basically.
I think I'll play that now. It's just a clip. It's just a part of it. But I really dig it. So why don't I share that now, if that's okay with you? This is
sure.
Night by Night from a fun night with the Adrian Ash Bad Ash All-Stars.
Night by night.
All right, and that was just a teaser, a sample of what you can hear at one of these tribute jams of the Bad Ash All Stars. And can you remember who we're hearing on this?
I can pull it up. I know that's Jeff Fritz on the lead vocals. I think that's me on the drums. And I think the horn section includes Gary Paolo, Aaron Cundiff, and Alex Roddick.
Okay, a cool bunch. Fritz, I like him a lot. He's got a lot of personality too in his playing.
Oh yeah,
and it just adds to it. So. So let's see. Oh, we have another caller here. Just a second. Hi, welcome into Madame Perry Salon. You're here with me and Adrian T. Ash. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. This is Sean. We're talking about the Prog Night, so I thought I'd call in and see if you had any questions.
Oh, okay. Questions for you, Sean?
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, I wanted to call and maybe talk a little bit about what it's like to have been part of this whole collective.
We can dig. That's exactly what we wanted. So, yeah, so you saw I put your name out. I smoked you out, didn't I?
Yeah, I felt my ears burning.
So welcome here. So tell us, how long have you been involved with these? And just give the people listening that have never been to one what they're missing and why it's so much fun.
Well, I've been a part of this for a little over 2 years now.
Wait one second. Adrian, do you know who this is? Is he an imposter?
Sure, I do.
Is he the real thing? He's a real thing.
Yeah, he's
okay, just checking.
He's essentially the first lieutenant.
Okay, Sean. Okay. Keep going, Sean. I'm just teasing with you.
I was asked to do one of these by Adrian a couple of years ago, and I can't even remember what the first one was. I think maybe a Steely Dan night up at Velvet Note, which we do once or twice a year. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know. I mean, I played around town with my band for a long time, but I never really did a whole lot of other musical stuff besides that. But I always loved getting together and playing cover songs with, you know, with my bandmates and with friends. And suddenly the opportunity arises to put on a whole night of music by one of your favorite bands, you know. I mean, I love Steely Dan. I jumped at the chance to go and play each worth of that music in such a nice setting with the, you know, an audience that knows every song, you know. I mean, who wouldn't love that? And it just kind of went from there, you know. It was a little addictive, you know. I mean, I'm a big classic rock fan, and I love to play music from, you know, countless different bands, and to have, you know, these different nights come up where we can focus on one and play 4 hours of music. I mean, this is a lot of music to get ready and to share, you know. I mean, you know, it's you get a lot of bang for your buck, I'll put it that way, over the course of the night.
Hey, that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. As I was saying earlier to people, I said, you know, just so the ones I've been to, listen, I said, I know sometimes, you know, when you perform, sometimes you can always think of what you wish you had done differently or whatever, done better. But, you know, come on, seriously, because you don't rehearse, everybody's got to show up ready and know their stuff and get in there. And everybody seems easy to work with, to support each other. And, you know, I've never heard a clunker in the whole bunch, especially
well, that's
things
awesome to
that
hear.
Are... Well, yeah, and don't people – in fact, this is one thing Adrian and I talked about one day. And tell me if you hear this too, Sean, that people come in for the first time and go, wow, how long has this been going on?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of them do, and it turns into such a fun night. You know, they don't even know quite what they're getting into. But once we go do it and we put on a show and a nice PA and lighting, it takes it to a new level. And, it becomes a very memorable night that you're always going to look back on fondly later. And and just the variety that we do. I mean, every month it's something different. You know, we've done some really biggies, like we did Pink Floyd's The Wall last fall. We do the Prog Night. But we do lots of other great ones, too. You know, Led Zeppelin's a big one that's very popular every year. And we have themed ones for, you know, the different decades. We've done the 80s a lot. And coming up in a couple of weeks here, we're going to be doing the 90s, which is one that we've had a lot of requests for. And we've got a great roster of about 30 different local musicians that are all awesome. And we're going to take you through that decade, just like you're sitting there with the radio going and the clock's ticking, you know. And it's a good variety, you know. You're going to think how the music kind of changed over the course of 10 years. You know, it started with a rather heavy kind of metal-inspired sound, and ended with something a little more poppy. And along the way, there's a lot of great songs. I mean, everything we're playing, you probably heard before, and it's, you know, it's an earworm for sure.
Seriously. And Adrian, what do you add to that? Or
I would like to add to it. It's been, you know, a great adventure to be a part of this and hear the back and forth between the people who participate in the jams and the jams that they want to see. You know, when this all started, I didn't really have a vision of doing anything more than, you know, my favorite artists and whatever else we had the people to do. So it's just nice to know the people out there who can do this stuff. And, you know, I'm just sort of the hub or the ringleader, you know, trying to get everybody in their right places so that we can pull off a whole night's music. And I'm grateful that everybody's, you know, willing and able to go where they're told and do what they're supposed to do and make a great show, because it really is a team effort. And I couldn't do this myself, obviously. So it's just really nice to feel the love from, you know, the musicians and get their feedback on it. And everybody's got new ideas for future jams, and it's just nice to see the idea spreading.
You know, Adrian's kind of the Make-A-Wish Foundation when it comes to music, because a lot of dreams come true playing these songs. You know, for a lot of us, you know, you might love a band, but it doesn't mean your band can play their music. So the chance to do it just never comes up. And suddenly when you have a pool of 20 or 30 people to choose from, almost anything's possible. And suddenly, you know, you're playing these songs that you grew up with and inspired you that you thought you'd never play, but you love them. And it's so wonderful when you finally can. So yeah, we can't thank him enough for that. You know, it's a unique opportunity that we don't take for granted.
So that's a great comparison.
And have you ever had a nervous moment? I mean, you know, some of the things you were talking about, and of course, I'm not a musician. I'm a chick singer, and I've tried to be a drummer, but my only paying gig as a drummer was playing for naked people dancing. And that's a story
for
another
fun.
Time.
You know, well,
yeah.
I hope.
Hey, and it paid. Yeah, so.
I hope it wasn't too chilly.
Well, I was stressed, but they were. Anyway, for another time, yes. The people recognizing one of the people at the arts festival. After that, I finally got to use the line. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you with your, you know, clothes on. So.
Oh my!
Anyway, but I remember We were talking about some of the descriptions and the pattern that Adrian was doing in between the acts when the police sting Jan, the first one I went to. He was talking about how, and it might have been also the Velvet Note for the same thing, about how the musical adventures and directions that the band took, you know, and I just recently read Stuart Copeland's book. Andy Summers' book, which really. I mean, I'm listening to this thing. I'm having to ask my husband every few minutes, okay, what's this quadratic equation mean? It sounds like what you're talking to the band behind me all the time. You know, some of these things aren't, they're not just regular, you know, CFG and a church drum, but you guys always come, everybody comes in and serves it up and holds up their end. If you ever had a nervous moment that somebody wouldn't do it or something would fall apart. Nothing's ever fallen apart, but have you ever?
Well, you do this often enough, and somebody is going to drop the ball somewhere. And, you know, we have had new people who have come in and not understood the vision, didn't prepare as well. And usually that only happens once, but with repeat offenders, you know, it comes to a point where you have to say, okay, well, you need to start showing up for rehearsals. You know, we're going to go over your songs, and, you know, I've had some club owners say, basically, it's your name on this, so you better do everything you can to make sure it's good.
yeah, like I know. When your name is on the act, you take the fame or the blame, either way, so.
Yeah.
I always say, especially the blame. Also, we have another caller that just came in here, calling in from Adele, Georgia, actor and musician in Atlanta, and an actor on Comedy Central for years. Duffy Odom is here with us. Welcome, Duffy.
Hello, Madam Perry, and hello, Adrian.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Hey. This is so very interesting. I had no idea that tribute bands were so prominent these days. They were just sort of a thing over on the side somewhere, you know, where people would put on Kiss makeup and get up and just play Kiss songs. This all sounds like it's skyrocketing, and it's very interesting the way it sounds like it was all put together, and it sounds so organized, and it's something that's beyond me. It just sounds so difficult that you would have to have a great, a mind like, Fletcher Henderson or something to be able to pull this off. And I was wondering, I know you have to think of your audience and you have to pull in as many people as possible, but I've wondered if you had ever played around with the idea of mixing genres, like doing Emerson, Lake and Palmer, do Conway Twitty or something like that. Any time that you've just messed around with two or more different types of music and putting them together.
Absolutely. Just last January we did Bowie versus Elvis, which was a pretty odd mashup, but they happened to share the same birthday and also the birthday of the venue owner who wanted an Elvis jam. And everybody in the collective sort of wanted a Bowie jam, so we sort of compromised and made it a mashup, and it actually ended up working out really well.
I think it would. I think there's a considerable amount of Elvis in David Bowie. He started out wanting to sound like somebody like Anthony Newley, and just sort of fell into a studio with a rock band, and I think the influences go kind of deep there. course, I don't think Elvis ever had any idea who David Bowie was, but
I'm pretty sure he did. I think he said he wanted to produce one of his albums for him.
Oh. Oh, wow. Yeah. And, of course, we all remember when Bowie sang that song with that Christmas song with Bing Crosby, which was kind of strange. Yeah, that sounds really neat. I'd like to hear some more of that. You know, mixing and unmatching and things. Yeah.
I was going to say one more thing before we, since we've got about 9 minutes left, I also wanted to say at some point, too, yeah, I like those ideas, Duffy. These guys could do anything. But, Adrian, before, I don't want to wait until the last minute to ask you, the people listening that want to know where and when, because these Badass All-Star Jams don't just take place at the Velvet. No, they're in different places. Red Light Cafe. So, other venues. How do people find out where they're going to be, when, and what they'll be hearing?
Well, the best way would be to go to the Facebook page for the Badass All Star Team.
Yeah.
And go to events, and you'll see the listing of shows. If you go to each individual event, you'll see a link to a Google Doc that has, you know, the sign up for every jam that we're hosting, sign up for a song or two or three if you know them, and, you know, show up to a rehearsal hopefully, and other than that, see you at the show. And, you know, we are doing them in different places around town. We're doing a Guitar Heroes jam at Darwin's Burgers and Blues coming up in March. We're doing the 90s jam coming up February 9th at Avondale Town Cinema. We're looking at doing other jams around town. We've done a few at Moonshadow Tavern and Tucker. We're looking into doing jams at Big Tech's in Decatur. And we're always looking for new places to host these jams because every venue has a different vibe too, you know. So at Darwin's, you couldn't really pull off, you know, a more esoteric jam as well as you could a Guitar Heroes jam or a Georgia Music jam. Whereas, you know, you can do that more eclectic stuff at Red Light. So, you know, the Prince jam is great for that kind of place. And there's some jams that require a larger production, like we had to do Pink Floyd at Avondale Town Cinema because it's a great stage, great PA, great lights. Something that big had to be done in a really big hall. So, you know, it's sort of a matter of optimizing the right jam for the right venue as well.
Prog Rock Night's coming up there April 7th as well.
Oh,
yeah. I know you mentioned that one coming up.
By the way, is there any chance? Oh, I'm sorry, Sean. Is there any chance that maybe coming up to one of these events that some listener might win a pair of tickets? Maybe?
Yes, two tickets to the 90s jam at Avondale Town Cinema.
All right, and the date on that is?
February 9th.
Okay.
Friday after next.
Friday after next, right around. So if you want to win a pair of tickets, you better call or message me in your desire. Make your needs known. And we'll do the drawing. And Sean and Adrian, since you and Duffy, you've studied music too, but Sean, Adrian, I wanted to ask you while we're going, if there's anything else you want to talk about. But one thing we were talking was, what about music schools? You know, I used to tell people, you know, with the band, there's not much of a middle class in the arts. You're either just having to struggle and eat, you know, sardines and crackers on your tour and hope the car or bus lasts till to the next venue, or you can afford to tear up the hotel room and not worry about it. But what do music schools, when people go and study music and they study music business and commercial music or whatever, what schools do to prepare musicians for a career in music, in any type of music?
I think they may try to teach what they think is best at the same time as fulfilling the requirements of their accreditation. So the challenge for any music school is going to be, you know, to stay as current and relevant as possible. And thank God there are some people at Georgia State who are willing to get out there, you know, have an ear to the ground as to the state of the community of musicians in this big city. There's a ton of great musicians in the city, and, you know, that's one of the things that we try to take advantage of. But not all music schools encourage their students enough to also do the same. You know, regardless of what style of music you're playing, if you're going to work, you've got to get out there and network. You've got to meet people. You've got to play with them as much as possible. You've got to not get blacklisted by any group of musicians, you know, because that'll just result in the loss of work.
No joke.
So, yes, I think they can't stress that enough in the music institutions in the country. You know, you can be the greatest musician in the closet, but if nobody knows what you can do for them, you know, you're not going to get the call. So you have to be on people's minds, and they have to be aware of what you can do so they can say, I need to put together a Led Zeppelin tribute band for one night, so I'm going to call so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, everybody's got their list. Usually people start at the top of the list and work their way down. So, you know, there's obviously also a totem pole aspect to all of this. So you want to be at the top of everybody's totem pole. And I think if music school is just focused on that and then work backwards from there instead of, you know, are we teaching them how to read orchestral excerpts, or are we fulfilling our accreditation standards? You know, it can be tricky.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Well, listen. So the February. So I'm going to have everybody that knows that if you've been a guest on the show, I'm going to share all of your events and your social media on everything where Madam Perry has a presence, or Jennifer Perry has a presence on Twitter or Pinterest or Instagram, Facebook, and everything. How, though? Where was I going with this, Adrian? So the next one is February the 9th at Avondale Town Cinema. And it is the 90s?
Yep, the 90s jam.
And what songs and artists are we going to be hearing? I mean, what, you know, represented?
We got everything from Jane Addiction, Alice in Chains, Extreme, Bonnie Raitt, Metallica, mm-hmm. Nirvana, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Black Crowes, Rage Against the Machine, Blind Melon, Gin Blossom, Smashing Pumpkins, Beastie Boys, Green Day, Offspring, Sheryl Crow, Soundgarden, Fish, Stone Mountain Pilots, Stone Temple Pilots, Cranberries, Alanis Morissette, Weezer, Hootie and the Blowfish, Garbage, Dishwalla, Tracy Chapman, Space Hog, Wallflowers, Cardigans, Beck, Sublime, Radiohead, Third Eye Blind, Foo Fighters, 311, Fastball, Lenny Kravitz, and Collective Soul.
What a memory.
Wow. Can't wait to hear the Stone Mountain Pilots. You know, I saw a clip from Jimmy Fallon. I guess I love that. Somebody's going to take that. Somebody's going to have that band name by next weekend playing somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
I saw a clip. I don't know if this is a regular thing he does or not, but a Jimmy Kimmel band mashup where he had Joss Stone and the Stone Temple Pilots doing, what is it? What's the song? Highway Love Song, but it was Joss Stone.
Interstate Love Song.
Yeah, Interstate Love Song with Joss Stone. Temple Pilots, both the band and
Stone Mountain Pilots.
So
new tribute band name.
I like it. All right, hey, Sean, Adrian, Duffy, thank you guys so much for being here with me. And I'm delighted. I love you guys. I think you're
come back, Adrian, so we can talk about education and stuff.
I'd love to talk about that.
Adrian, can you promise me a part two sometime, maybe in a month or so when you got time, and come back and talk more? And Sean, you as well.
Sure, no problem.
You got it.
Okay, good. And too, Duffy, you know, I've been talking to Adrian for a long time about how I want him to take these on the road and go to, you know, the cities or Asheville, Macon, and then just keep on going. So.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's my dream, maybe not his, but.
Come to Tallahassee, I can come see you.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Yeah, it's got to be in a city with a lot of musicians to pull from locally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're lucky
to
be in a town that has so much talent.
What, dear?
So we're lucky to be in a rather talented city here, you know, with a large group of musicians. But maybe we can create a traveling road show. You know?
Yes.
Crazier things have happened.
Well, people have heard me talk for a long time because, you know, I don't know if you know, Sean, I'm an entertainment publicist. That's my business. And I've often said, you know, it's been my goal and still is to have a big tour bus and I can just put some musicians and authors in there and we'll just travel the country, get out, gig, you know, read, sell books, sell music, whatever, and just keep on. And maybe you're on just for a few cities or the whole road. Maybe somebody gets off here and gets on there and you know, I'm going to pack you all in there and take you with me if I do. So, anyway, don't forget, tomorrow night, true crime author, you've seen him on TV, you read his books, Michael Fleeman is going to talk about the murder of Robert Limon by the love triangle. Robert and Sabrina were married. She fell in love with a younger man while she was giving out samples of food at Costco. This story, Better Off Dead, has guys. Now, listen, Adrian, Sean, Duffy, you know, this sounds like something between a gangster rap and a hip-hop murder ballad and a country western murder ballad. They had these little communities in near Bakersfield, California, where the whole neighborhood, the husbands and wives get babysitters. They go off on these trips. They do wife swapping and husband swapping all weekend and take naked rides down zip lines. And this is going to all be – and it's a true story. So Michael Fleeman wrote the book about it, Better Off Dead. Say what?
I said I hope it's not chilly when they go zip lining.
Really? And so it's a true story. I even watched part of the court after, as I was reading the book, I would even stop and watch part of some of the court testimony on YouTube. So he's going to be on here tomorrow night talking about it. So join us with Michael Fleeman tomorrow night, next Monday, Linda Civitello. Coming up soon will be also Chasm Sultan again, bass player, and also Bootsy Collin coming up in March. Bootsy Collin.
Wow.
And thank you so much. I'm going to close
thank
out.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Swinging cat.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.